Let's get something out of the way right off the top. We have a lineup change in here today. Chris Kelly here. There's Chris Dim right there.
I'm here.
And in for Biggie, B.B.J.
What's up? How you doing?
Well, let's talk about it.
It is with mixed emotions we welcome you to the show. It's good to see you, but not like this.
Yeah. Man, this is upsetting, and I'll tell you why. I'll tell you what it is. I came in today a couple of minutes late, and Chris Dim said, "Did you get the text?" And I said, "No, bro. I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about." He said, "Check your text machine." And there's a text from our man Biggie, who had completed 33 consecutive days without missing. We have it documented here on a dry erase board. And the text said, "My knee's locked up." He's like, "My knee is giving me fits. I'm on the horn with B.B. Shea." 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
He sent this in. He's like, "I'm on the phone with B.B. Shea." And you think, man, B.B. Shea, this guy. And incidentally, you look terrific.
Oh, thank you.
Last minute. Look at you.
Thank you.
You look fresh, even though you're awakened in the middle of the night. Mm. So Biggie's got this locked up knee. And then Biggie says at the very end, "I'm going to try to make it in there. But I've got B.B. Shea just in case." And I say to Chris Dim, "Don't you change that board.
I've got the eraser."
Nope. I believe in that. I believe.
You don't want to reset it to zero?
We are not resetting that board. How long do we give him? What's an official game? Can he come in 2 hours from now and get in an official game? Can he make it in?
Well, based on some of our coworkers, yes. Some of their definitions of, quote, work day. Sometimes 2 hours is a full day.
That's a great point.
It's true. Yeah. This is different than the NBA. You know, in the NBA, you have to start the game.
That's
here,
right. Okay.
Nah, you don't got to start the game.
All you have to do is be there for the start, right?
Yeah, exactly.
How does baseball work? If you come in the third inning and play all the way through the ninth, did you play an official game? I don't know the answer.
You mean as a position player?
Yeah, if you're the shortstop, let's say, and the other shortstop in the middle of the second inning has stomach flu and leaves.
Yeah, I think that's a game appearance, right?
Yeah, for sure.
I think you get a full game.
Yeah.
Let's give Biggie 90 minutes. All right.
Okay.
Start the clock.
All right.
So this is more than you would give a tenured professor at a prestigious college, right? I remember the rules about how long you have to wait if a teacher was late.
It was like 5 or 10 minutes for a non-tenured and 15 for a tenured or something.
That's
like
what I remember, yeah.
I thought it was longer. Mm-hmm. Or if it was like the head of a department, you could never leave.
Right. You just sit there.
Or if it's the dean, you can never leave the class. You have to sit there for 50 minutes.
Right. Just sit and stare
just
at each other.
Just in case the dean shows
you
up.
You might come in. That's right. That's good. But, boy, I used to watch the clock praying they wouldn't show up. And then once in a while, you know.
Because you couldn't text anybody.
No, of course. Then. No, you just sit there and wait and watch the clock. And sometimes at like 8 minutes past the hour, they'll duck in and say, "Sorry, I'm late." And I'm like, oh,
dang.
You know, you're 2 minutes away from being able to leave.
You had packed up your stuff already.
That's right. Here's why we're giving Biggie such grace. That board says 33 days without a miss, and I want it to say 1,000.
All right. Okay.
I want quadruple number
in a row. You
quadruple.
These are consecutive days. These aren't.
That's right.
This isn't like a cumulative total. This is consecutive.
I am so proud of that guy. He got in here 33 days in a row, and yesterday there was no indication that it wouldn't click up to 34.
Well, you always say that, but Biggie, if you read between the lines, every morning says, "I can't believe I'm here." Every day his feet hit the floor and he's angry that they do. And then he says, "Well, see if the legs work."
Today they did.
But in your mind, it's just wallpaper. You don't hear it. Long as Biggie's giant hulking form is in that room.
And I think we're going to see that hulking form come through that door one way or another.
Shaking his cane at BB, "Get out of my chair."
That's right. That's right. That hulking figure is walking through that door. He's going to pull a Willis Reed on us. Now, this is an old reference. But
very.
Willis Reed. You know Willis Reed?
Yeah.
You're familiar. You're a New York sports fan.
Mm-hmm. Did he like get hurt then come in late or something like that?
They were 1970. I mean, as long as
I think
time
it was at their first title?
Knicks Lakers, I think it was. And he got hurt early in the series and was out multiple games. And they were like, "He's not playing game 7, which they had to have in Madison Square Garden. suddenly, a hobbled Willis Reed comes limping out onto the court and starts the game against the Lakers.
Makes his first two or three shots over Wilt Chamberlain.
Wow. Scored like 6 points.
And the game was over.
Yep. He came out, but...
Yeah, he didn't finish the game.
Emotion and adrenaline.
The Garden was electric.
Fans. It was like the night. For Madison Square Garden, it was the biggest night ever for the New York Knicks, without question. They won their first title of not that many. They've only won a few.
Two,
maybe. 70 and 73, something like that. But when Willis Reed came... we're going to replace the name Willis Reed with Biggie. That's what we're going to
do. You know, there's probably a statue of Willis Reed at MSG. You know there's a plaque.
Get Borglum.
We're going to need a lot of bronze.
Get me some bronze in here. And let's put a statue in the lobby of this
Biggie.
Of Biggie when he comes hobbling in here today. Y'all give up on him. See, against my... I won't give
up. Don't you erase that board.
That board will not be erased. Not on my watch. Not until this show is at least 90 minutes old. Big E now has 87 minutes. We need him through that door because the last I heard from him was, I'm going to try.
Wasn't there a moment, I've never seen it in the theater, but I think that in the movie or the story of Peter Pan, you know, Tinkerbell rescues Peter at the end, right?
Yeah.
Or something. I can't remember all the details. It's been 60 years since I've seen it.
Right.
But you know, I think the there's a point in the show where some of the actors turn to the crowd and say, we need Tinkerbell. Can you help bring Tinkerbell back to life?
Oh, yeah. They have to.
Will Tinkerbell back to life? And then she comes to life and saves the day.
That's what I'm going to do. You know, I just read a stat that 40% of people, and I'll bet young people are more than older people on this, believe that if you think positively and you really can't manifest something to happen. So we're going to manifest Biggie into this room.
It takes all of us.
It's going to take all of us, B.B. Shane.
Okay.
And then you'll get to hit the golf course early.
That's right.
Even earlier.
In your beautiful peach shirt.
Yeah.
You'll be out there for an early morning round if we can manifest Biggie into this room by the end of today's program. And I believe it. Don't you touch that dry erase board yet. Everybody looking at their phones. Apparently, a call was placed to B.B. Shea earlier that said, now this is unbeknownst to me until just a few minutes ago, that's from Biggie saying, no chance in hell.
Yeah. He did just text me, no chance, Hoss.
Okay.
No chance, Hoss.
No chance, Hoss.
Did I get that text? No.
No, that's private.
I saw you looking at your phone. So the words are, quote unquote, no chance, Hoss.
Yeah.
I don't believe it. Mind power and that dry erase board will put him in. I don't want it to say 33. I want it to say 1,033.
It's like the photograph in Back to the Future. It's starting to fade. See that? I faded it just a touch.
Yes, that's the way to do it. We're going to fade it. We're going to fade it. Just like as Michael J. Fox starts to disappear.
Does his sister leave first?
Yeah, she's gone and the brother's gone. And then he's like, you remember, he's playing on the stage.
Yeah.
And
he starts to disappear into his guitar.
But then mom and dad kiss on the dance floor and he back up and he plays as Marvin Berry. Okay, now.
A quick side note, too, by the way, for Knicks historians, my brother, Charles, gigantic Knicks fan, said Walt Frazier had 36 that night.
Goes overlooked.
Gets no love for it.
It's still the Willis Reed game.
He had 36, but it's Willis Reed who had 6 points, I think, four or six points. And just the first couple of minutes of the game, and then he was out.
That'll be the same thing that happens here. I'll do the first
three hours of the show.
Bigo come in the last hour. Oh, Biggie, it's so good to see you.
You're right.
I'll get no credit.
It'll be the Biggie game.
Yeah.
But really, you'll be the one who should have gotten the credit.
They did the heavy lifting.
A quick update, too. We're talking, this is all from earlier in the week. We had an obituary earlier in the week. Do you like the Chucky movies? Are you a fan of Child's Play?
They scared the crap out of me when I was younger. I am somewhat familiar.
The guy who was in the Chucky costume for the first three movies, along with, you know, he had 100 other movies he made, his name's Ed Gale, died only 3 feet 4 inches tall.
Wow.
And died at age 61. He also was the first, he was in Howard the Duck. He was in the costume for Howard the Duck, which is panned as one of the worst movies of all time. Officially the first Marvel movie.
Yeah, and I had forgotten this too, but a Marvel fan emailed me yesterday And she said that if you watch the first Guardians of the Galaxy movie, they reference Howard at the end in the credits.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Because, you know, he was the first Marvel movie character.
Excellent.
On screen.
Now, that's a factoid. Mm-hmm. And so that is an update there. Yeah. Of Ed Gale. And there's another. Listen to this. I don't know this, but Chris Tipp said, did you see this aside from the Ed Gale?
No, I didn't vet it. Okay. But it comes from a reputable source. Yeah. This is a woman, a P1. She's in education.
Yeah.
And she says, heard you talking about Ed Gale's passing. And I looked him up. Mm-hmm. Apparently, he suffered from pulmonary hypertension and COPD, which contributed to his death. If you look at some of the last photographs of the man, he's smiling, but he has a breathing apparatus.
Okay.
You know, one of those, an oxygen tank with him. Ed Gale was rushed to hospital in January of this year in respiratory distress, but could not be put on a ventilator. They were all in use by Los Angeles wildfire victims.
Really?
Wow.
Wow. Okay.
No ventilator for Mr. Gale.
Did he say, don't you know who I am? I was Chucky. I was Howard the Duck. I guess not. Mm. I guess you don't say
something.
Doesn't
pull that much weight.
Mm-mm.
And then, she continues, back in March of 2024, Ed Gale was sentenced for solicitation of a minor.
Oh no.
And registered and died as a sex offender.
Oh, man. Well, in that case, I can't give him any more shine. Here I was all... You see...
I didn't see that in any of the opens.
No.
You think they just let... They were like, cut the guy a break. He just died. Let's just not say that. No. That really should have been at the foot of it, you know? Because I told Biggie, we're going way overboard.
On
Ed Gale. Nobody's ever... We build it as, here's an actor you've never heard of who died. Good teasing. I do a lot of good teasing like that.
But he didn't voice Chucky, did he?
Well, that was our question. I don't think so.
No, it was Brad Dourif.
Oh.
Who was Billy Bibbit in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
God. There's another.
From the clouds.
You know stuff. It is unbelievable. The amount of knowledge you have.
Billy Bibbit.
And then you're a golfer, and I say, well, they didn't play Lift, Clean, and Place. And you say, I don't have any idea what that means. You know the most. Well, that was Billy Bibbit.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Doesn't everybody know that?
I can't believe you knew that. I'm agog as well. You know, that reminds. Did I tell you, when I went, you may know this, when I went to sleepaway camp for the Friday the 13th, where I slept, where they filmed
the actual movie set,
I did a lot of study on Friday the 13th before I went because I wanted to appear like I really knew a lot. Now, I knew the first movie pretty well, and I watched Friday the 13th Part 2, and at the end of the movie, and at the beginning credits, it says Warrington Gillette as Jason. So we're at dinner that night, and I dropped that factoid on everybody. I was like, yeah, of course, the first Jason played by the great Warrington Gillette. And
everybody put their forks down.
And somebody goes, you mean Steve Dash? And I was like, no. He's a Gillette. I'm a Gillette man. And he's like, Warrington Gillette was a no-talent drunk. Couldn't even walk one step in Steve Dash's shoes. Steve Dash goes uncredited, but played Jason for 99% of that movie, Part 2.
But got no credit?
But got no credit for whatever reason. And, you know, media guy Craig explained it when I first brought this up. Apparently, Warrington Gillette was given the role and was there for like the first week of shooting. But it's not on screen at all, really. I mean, I think he's in one frame of the movie.
As the character?
As the character, but contractually, he was Jason. And so it's in there. So it says Warrington Gillette.
They just used an anonymous. Was he a stuntman?
Steve Dash. Yeah, I think he was a stuntman. And he did all the scenes as Jason, but got no credit in the movie. And so when I'm sitting there at that table trying to really show off for these Friday the 13th, I was like, well, of course, you know Warrington Gillette.
And too bad he can't be here tonight. Let's raise a glass of our unsweetened tea, Warrington Gillette.
You mean Steve Dash?
Huh?
And I was like, oh, who's Steve Dash?
Steve what now?
I said, well, I'm a Gillette man. They're like, how can you be? He wasn't even in the movie. idiot.
You made a mockery of the show.
Mockery.
Of the costume, yes, the character.
100% right. So that's where, so you know all these things. My God, that is incredible that you knew who voiced Chucky
yeah.
in the first three, I believe, Child's Play movies.